Hello, hello, beloved listeners. Welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Yes, every week on Advanced Living Radio, we're here with a goal to essentially, shortcut sentence, make your life better. And how do we do that? By answering a prayer, by seeking this guidance. It says, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes. So that's the essence of what we're going for week in and week out. And as we get started today, I want to take a moment just to say a thank you to our sponsor, Advanced Living Comfort. When you go to advancedlivingcomfort.com, you're going to get introduced to what a lot of the people involved with that call a Clark Kent cloth with superpowers. You look at it, it looks like a stylish little digital clock that you travel with or have on your desk or nightstand. But when you plug it in, special modifications to that unit, it creates an energy like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. It is such pure harmonized energy, such coherent, stable energy, that one of the main things it accomplishes is freeing us up from being victimized and stressed out by our high-tech electric world with all the electro pollution, whether it's the cell phone, the computer, the Wi-Fi networks, some parts of the country, smart meters. They don't want to know why they call them smart, because they actually stress the heck out of folks. But anyway, check out advancedlivingcomfort.com. You'll find people there like Jack Canfield, Reverend Michael Beckwith, just a bunch of quality people who are basically have tried this and want you to try it too because they love it and let you know that. So check out advancedlivingcomfort.com. Now, talk about something that is important to be doing. I mean, the news that we get on the newspapers, on the radio, the TV, my gosh, drama. And what does that do to us? I mean, yes, it's stimulating in some way, but at the end of it, how you feeling? Well, what if we could sneak someone in on you who just might have some of the secrets to accessing some joy, unleashing your mind's capacity for joy that would lead to you living what? An inspired life, which just so happens to be the title of her new book, The Inspired Life. And who is this, you say? Well, this happens to be Susan Reeve. Now, what's a little about Susan, huh? Well, how about that she is the co-founder of the SelfEsteemExperts.com, an award-winning author of a previous book, Choose Peace and Happiness. It's kind of like that's when you go to the restaurant of designing your life. And then she has how much experience? How about just 35 years as a coach, corporate consultant, and interfaith minister? So who's she been interacting with all this time? Well, how about her and clients have included American Express, New York University, Exxon, Continental Airlines, the Metropolitan Museum, Young Presidents Organization, and that's just to name a few. Susan hangs out in Long Island, New York. Yes, a big city gal, because she's just got huge ambitions and has helped people. And what a place to do it from. So let's welcome Susan and find out how to get our life inspired. Hi there, Susan.
Hi, Kenneth. What a great introduction. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This is such a treat. Any time we can have someone with a proven track record. You've been indicted for bringing a lot of joy, and you get to suffer the consequences of being adored and seeing the seeds of your love sprout in many people's lives. So there you go. It serves you right.
Yeah, I say yes to that suffering.
Good. Now, with this wonderful work, I mean, it's a general kind of term. If we say, well, an inspired life, and that might mean something different to everyone in some way. Would you share with us today what is an inspired life in your terms?
Yeah, quite simply, it's a life lived with passion and purpose, where each one of us recognizes, acknowledges our skills, talents, gifts, and abilities, and uses them both as a way to experience personal satisfaction and then the ripple effect of that, you know, the impact that has that we're not even aware of in both the energetic field and in the lives of people, so that we experience a more loving and peaceful, kind, compassionate world.
Well, who doesn't want that?
Yeah, I mean, I think so many of us have mastered misery. So many of us have mastered, feeling betrayed, feeling regretful, resentment, angry, less than, our particular version of not enough. And my thoughts are, if you've already mastered that, then why do you need to continue practicing it?
Aha! Wow, I love it. And how sweet that when someone has done something, instead of being called a victim of this, of self-defeating this, or all kinds of negative things, of suffering, of pain, and it's been there for a while, you're turning all that around by saying they've mastered it.
Exactly, because what that reminds me of is, because I have mastered misery in my life, you know, I could get in there with the best of them and tell Ain't It Awful stories or host a pity party. Ah. I was very good at that for many decades. And it occurred to me, you know, if I'm good at this, I don't need to continue practicing it. And I can trust that if I ever need to call on those skills, I will have access to them. You know, to play with it, to lighten up. Yes, we have experienced, you know, hardship, heartache, difficult times. There are serious problems going on in the world. But we're not going to solve them by being angry, by being frustrated, by feeling victimized.
Huh. Yeah, I haven't ever seen an author of the book, How I Cried Myself to Happiness.
Well, that's interesting, you know, how you transform those unhappy tears into tears of joy.
Yes. Ah, okay. So there, even in that, you are so tenaciously aligned with helping us to stay on track of turning everything into a positive. Susan, how did you get to doing that?
Well, you know, in my personal story, when I was a teenager, I wrote in my journal, what would the world be like if everybody loved themselves? And I can tell you at that time, I didn't particularly love myself. You know, as a teenager, I didn't think I was pretty enough, popular enough, smart enough, tall enough, you know, lived in the right place. Whatever it was, the bottom line was that I didn't feel like I was enough. And that really plagued me. It plagued me through marriages where it was really challenging for me to accept the love of my husband because I didn't love me. And as a result of a divorce, and that was my real huge wake-up call, as a result of a divorce, I decided I needed to approach this, these feelings of discontent, unhappiness, anger, I'm not enoughness, as though I'd been diagnosed with a terminal illness. Because while these thoughts might not kill me physically, they were taking the zest and the passion out of my life.
Mm.
And so while I had heard that thoughts create reality, while I taught that, there was a place very deep inside of me that didn't believe that about myself. And I decided that I was going to upgrade the software. I was going to start paying attention and noticing the feelings that were generated by these thoughts of I'm not enoughness. And when I noticed them, I was going to acknowledge myself for that, pat myself on the back for being awake, and I was going to choose a new thought.
Wow. Wow. I love it. Oh, boy, I can't wait to go deeper into this so we can get some tidbits. And, of course, I'm guessing that when people would get your book, we want to get a website out there. I don't know if it's,
sure,
you know, for your name, the SusanReeve.com, spelled in its own beautiful, unique way, and or your self-esteem experts. What websites would you say?
Yeah, it's SusanReeve.com, and my first name is unusual, SusanReeve.com. And through SusanReeve.com, you can access self-esteem experts. You can get information about the book, get an excerpt from the book, and have loads of information, a whole self-esteem lesson plan that we have available on self-esteem experts.
Mm. Oh, okay. So that'll get folks a free taste of this wonderful work you're doing.
Yeah, and, you know, ideally my dream is that, because I don't think my experience is so different from other people. You know, my circumstances are different. My particular story is different. But the feelings of I'm not enough, having a dream, and not even allowing ourselves to take a step forward because we're afraid we might fail or we're afraid that the dream is bigger than us. I really believe that it's a time in the world for each one of us to truly acknowledge that we are co-creative partners with a greater field of life, and what we think, who we are, what we do does make a difference.
Mm. Ah, that's fabulous. Now, just as a bit of a practical question, because
mm-hmm.
you've made mention of some of the things that you had done to times where you made some transformations in your life, so it leads me to how do you unleash the mind's capacity for joy?
Well, first of all, it's important to understand how the brain works, and we describe this in The Inspired Life, but quite simply, our thoughts charged with emotional energy create brain pathways. And these brain pathways become the, I want to give you an example. I used to be someone who, whenever I was stuck in traffic, would feel totally victimized by the circumstance. On automatic, my hands would grasp the steering wheel, my knuckles would become white, my shoulders would raise up to my ears, and I'd be annoyed, I'd start worrying that I was going to be late, I left on time, why don't they do road work at night? You know, whatever automatic thoughts went through my mind. One day I noticed that that's what I was doing in traffic, and I had the thought that this stress was affecting my well-being and health, and never had traffic move faster. So I took a deep breath, and I put my shoulders down, I released the steering wheel, and I thought, okay, how can I think about this differently? And I made up a new thought, and the new thought was, and I continue to use this 10 years later,
wow.
Oh, this must be the safest place for me to be right now. So what I started to do by thinking that thought over and over again, I have created a new brain pathway. Which isn't to say that there aren't in moments when I get in traffic that I don't have that old automatic reaction. But it generally takes seconds for me to take a deep breath, sit back, and sometimes think, oh, I have some free time now. How do I want to use this time alone in my car? Or if I'm with others, how can we use this time that we have in the car? So understanding that our thoughts are real things and create patterns, and then our actions are related to the brain pathways that we have used the most.
So those are, when you say the brain pathways we've used the most, so those, like, what do you call them, conditioned responses? Or
exactly. They're habits of thinking.
Ah, okay.
And so if we want to create a new brain pathway, a new pattern, you know, you can think of it as learning to ride a bicycle. When you first get on a bicycle, there's a lot to think about. Keeping your balance, holding on to the steering wheel, paying attention to if there are other cars or other people on the road. There's a lot to pay attention to, and we're generally very wobbly when we're first doing that. We don't have an ingrained brain bicycle riding pathway. But we start doing that a bit, and we gain confidence. And now, even if you haven't been on a bike for 10, 15, 20 years, in all likelihood, when you get on it again, you will very easily be able to ride.
Ah, yes, I do have experience with that. I think a lot of our listeners can relate to that. So this learning thing has long-term positive effects.
Yeah, so understanding how our brain works is important. The other part of this is understanding our personal role in the creative process. And from my point of view, creation is a co-creative process with the greater field of life, the energy of the universe, invisible forces, whatever you may want to call this. And so our work is to get very clear about what our intention is. I really like the word intend, what we're tending from the inside out. And so it's our thoughts charged with emotional energy, spoken of with authority. We are the author of them, and acted on with conviction, acted on with faith, serves as an invitation to our co-creative partner, the greater field of life, God, the loving energy of the universe, the invisible forces, the great mystery. But we are the magnets to attract to and through us that which we desire.
That is wonderful. So, this obviously, you have reached a wonderful point in your life to Now I'm just kind of wondering, can anyone live this inspired life? Or there's some, it's just they've been through too much and they're stuck and they just make the best of being semi-miserable.
Well, semi-miserable is a move in the right direction, but miserable is miserable. Yes, we all have that capacity. And I have needed a lot of help along the way, you know, in the terms of coaches, spiritual teachers, friends who were vision keepers for me, friends who believe in me, who when I lose my belief in myself, I can go to them and they don't get caught up in the ain't it awful story. They listen and they remind me of who I am. So I believe that it's possible for any one of us. And for me, and I think this is, you know, I find this with my clients. The ones who have the greatest success approach this as a priority in their life as though they're training for the Olympics.
Ah.
You know, it just takes dedication, you know, and so I'm sure there are Olympians who some days have a bad, you know, if they're Olympic skiers, some days have a bad ski run. But if you continually beat yourself up for, oh, I'm still thinking that I'm not enough. I don't believe I can do it. I'm so angry with myself that I'm still thinking those thoughts. You know, if you notice that you are thinking self-sabotaging thoughts, rather than judge yourself for that, acknowledge yourself for noticing. And that acknowledgement begins the intervention in creating a new pattern of thought.
Ah. Okay. So that, to me, is such a profound thing. As a matter of fact, that's to me so important. Would you say that again, Susan? What is it, the essence of what you just said?
Yeah, and let me do it with an example.
Yeah.
So let's say you're single and you'd really love a loving relationship in your life, and you go on some, you know, Match.com or eHarmony, and a number of people respond to you, ask for your phone number, and then you never hear from them. And so one thing you can do at that, you know, one thing that might occur at that moment is you feel like, oh, no matter what I do, a relationship is never going to work for me. It doesn't matter what I do. I should have never even thought about being in a relationship. And my thinking is, as soon as you notice these thoughts that are sabotaging your bigger vision of an unprecedented loving relationship in your life, as soon as you notice that you're having these sabotaging thoughts, acknowledge yourself for noticing. Acknowledge your feelings. Don't get lost in them. Acknowledge them. And then redirect your attention to something that generates good feelings. And initially, it may be too difficult to focus on the relationship that you desire, because just thinking of that initially may remind you of what you don't have. But think about something that brings you joy, whether it's, you know, friends in your life or a particular place that you go to. Like, I love going to the beach and watching the morning sunlight on the water. That just brings me a sense of joy. And so get connected with something that gives you a sense of peace and happiness. And from that place, allow yourself the time and space for your next step to be revealed.
Oh. Oh, you don't have to have all the answers right away?
And that's difficult for many of us, if not most of us. What we need to know is, what's my vision? What's my North Star? You know, I'll use myself as an example. My vision is very, very broad. My vision is to be a mighty expression of love in the world. In the different decades of my life, that has looked different ways. right now, it looks like providing the tools, the inspiration, and the guidance for people to generate a loving relationship with themselves as a blueprint for all their relationships in life.
Very and, sneaky, Susan.
Yeah.
I like this because one of the expressions that I value is something, and you may know the actual source of this, I'd love to know. The expression is, no one can love you more than you love yourself.
Yeah, you know, I have also heard that many times, and I'm not sure the source of that, but that's absolutely true. Our relationships with ourselves, if you find that in your closest relationships, whether it's with a spouse, whether it's with a family member, a parent or a child or close friends, that you notice that there's a pattern going on over and over again in all your relationships, and you're used to focusing your attention on what's wrong with the other person, what they should be doing differently, I really encourage you to take a look inside. Are there parts of you that you don't accept? Are there parts of you that you abandon? Are there parts of you that you're ashamed of? Because until you forgive, embrace, and love all of you, it is, I believe it's impossible to be able to receive in an ongoing basis the love of others.
Ah, that's so important. So you've just put a very important, in my opinion, foundational piece there to be able to recognize this. Now, do you have, when we start to notice some of these things, anything else that comes to mind? Because, I mean, you know, in working with people for 35 years, I'm guessing that you've come to realize that a lot of folks have different ways of learning and processing information. So how do you approach this living an inspired life with different people and learning styles?
Yeah, and that's really important to acknowledge because not every particular technique is going to work with every single person. So, I mean, for me, the starting place is always acknowledging the self-sabotaging thoughts. But it's a challenge to pay attention to all of our thoughts because I have done research on this and have not found a definitive answer. I have read that we think between 8,000 and 60,000 thoughts a day. Much too many thoughts to monitor. So we use our feelings, the physical feelings in our body, as a guide. And when we notice that we're feeling, whether it's a tightness in our chest, or we're feeling knots in our stomach, or we're grinding our teeth, or we have back pain, whatever the particular feeling is, constriction in your throat, when you notice that you're feeling a feeling, you want to be able to wake up to what are the thoughts that are generating that feeling. And you do that, take out a piece of paper. I find it really helpful to write this stuff down, or you can do it at your computer. When I am feeling, and you can either give it the emotional name or the physical name, when I'm feeling angry, when I'm feeling frustrated, when I'm feeling betrayed, I am believing. What am I believing about myself? What am I believing about the other people involved in this circumstance, and what do I believe about life? And begin to look at your beliefs. Are these beliefs supporting your North Star? And if they're not, what are other beliefs? What's programming that supports what you desire? Now, I want to be really clear. I have a coaching practice, and this sounds easier than it is to do because what this involves for some of us who have very deep-seated not-enoughness feelings, I'm not lovable enough, I'm not worthy enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough, it is of value to work with a coach, to work with a spiritual guide, to work with a therapist, to get connected with that part of yourself, that younger self, that carries the trauma from when you made that decision about yourself, which is often when we were very, very young.
Ah, wow. Now, your base is still Long Island?
Yes, yeah. I'm out here on the eastern end of Long Island right now with the daffodils in bloom.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's pretty nice. They smell good, too. I'm thinking here, Susan, this is pretty exciting because you're so well-positioned. New York is like a major city with some of the biggest companies that do marketing and advertising, and isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you're helping to put forward some really important things, and I guess this is a little bit of tongue in cheek, but it seems like thanks to advertising, people have become amazingly successful at feeling not enough. And advertising has helped teach them that, as far as I can tell.
Well, I think that one of the ways that it happens is advertising shows us this vision of what we could be if we buy this product, if we have this car, if we have this brand of makeup, if we... if we live in that place, if we have that job title. And so we've learned that the route to happiness is to acquire and consume.
Yes.
And if this car doesn't make me happy, well, then maybe I can dream of a newer one. Or if this house doesn't make me happy, then maybe a bigger one will. And I saw a wonderful documentary recently called I Am. And it was done by Tom Shadyac, who directed Ace Ventura and Liar Liar and Bruce Almighty.
Oh.
And as a result, fabulous documentary. And as a result of an accident, he went out and wanted to find out, he had two questions. What's wrong with the world, and what can we do about it? And he wound up finding out what's right with the world. But there's a scene in the film where, so he's a gazillionaire from these films that he made, and he was living in an enormous house, just moved in to a huge mansion in Southern California. And there's a scene in the film where he says, the movers left, and I was standing in the foyer of the house, and I realized I was no happier here than I had been when I lived in smaller places.
Ah.
So he was living what so many of us have grown up to think of as the big dream. Happiness is an inside job. Yes, it's nice to be able to have things that make our life easier. I'm glad I have a car that works, that I live in a house that has heat when it's cold outside. I'm very grateful. But I know that things are not what brings sustaining joy.
So important. Now, I guess we're kind of getting into some of the things about challenges that people face trying to live this inspired life. So are there some other things that you're running into?
Yeah, what I think is so crucial here is that, and you may have experienced this in your own life, January 1st, you come up with a New Year's resolution, you're going to exercise, 5 days a week, and you're committed to it, and then you wake up on January 2nd and there's a snowstorm and you do a negotiation about why you don't have to go to the gym and why you're not going to work out that day.
Yeah.
One of the things that happens is that when we have a vision to be mighty expressions of love in the world, we can be pretty sure that what's going to pop up pretty fast is everything about us that isn't loving.
Ah.
And so many people then take that as proof that no matter what I do, it's not going to work. I'm always going to be feeling terrible about myself. Well, I like to think about it differently. I like to think about it in terms of when we set an intention and we're faced with a breakdown, a block, or an obstacle, a circumstance that's getting in the way of our living, embodying the result that we desire. The breakdown is coming to the light of our conscious awareness in order for us to see where we have self-sabotaging patterns. It's not coming up as a prison sentence for victimization. It's coming to our awareness so we can make a new choice and create a new brain pathway.
Boy, that is so beautiful to have us step back into that place of childlike learning when we kept creating all these pathways and never gave it a second thought, and then somewhere stopped doing that, it seems like, and just went on automatic pilot and went, geez, this ain't working. Too bad. I'm stuck.
Yeah, well, you know, I certainly didn't learn. Well, let me put it this way. I was talking with somebody just 2 days ago about how my conception of God, the loving energy of the universe, the great mystery, whatever name we give to this force, this energy that lives and gives and moves through each one of us. And when I was growing up, I had this idea of, you know, a man with a white beard up in the sky who was judging me. And yet I could go to that outside source if I really, really wanted something and pray for it. And then over time, I had this sense of, well, you know, God is an energy, and it's around me all of the time. And now my experience has evolved that with every breath I take, it is this loving energy of the universe that is moving in and through me. So that I am deeply connected with the creative force of the universe. That's an enormous amount of power. That isn't to take away from horrific experiences that children have. You know, children who are abused emotionally, sexually, physically, or experiences soldiers have in war, or experiences that people have, adults who wind up having experienced horrific violence in their life. But does it serve us in any way to constantly be re-victimizing ourselves by living in that past horror?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, forgiveness is so important in this process. Forgiving ourselves for believing that we were less than. Forgiving ourselves for giving up on our dreams. Forgiving ourselves for listening to other people's opinions rather than our own heart song. I left my full-time job. I had a wonderful job. I was living in Manhattan. I was an employee at New York University. I had a great apartment, and I told my mother one day I was leaving the job. She thought I was absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
And but my dad had died a few years before. One of my sisters had died a few years before that. And both of their deaths were pretty quick. My sister within 2 weeks of being hospitalized, my dad within 6 weeks. And that was pretty quick. And so I knew that, you know, life could change in the snap of a finger. 20 years later, my mother said to me, you really did make the right choices for you. I was always telling you not to be a dreamer because I worried that you weren't practical. But I see that you've been responsible and you've also created a life that works for you. But so many of us, you know, given the state of the economy now, so many people are so, you know, worried. Are they going to be able to pay their mortgage? I mean, these are real worries. I understand these are real worries. If we focus on our fear, we then don't have access to the inner knowing within us that can be a guide for us.
Ah, okay. So this is an important thing, because some folks might be saying, well, geez, I mean, it's not like maybe this stuff is going on that's crazy and the suffering and the collapse of the major institutions on the planet and the global warming. I mean, the list of stuff is pretty extensive. And you're not saying, well, no, just look on the bright side. It's like help lead us through that when we're thinking that way. How do we get from this realization of the mess that's been created individually and as a race and from watching the movie Thrive, as far as I can tell, from some pretty hurting people that have deliberately plotted for many generations to take control of many people's lives and dominate the financial world. I mean, this, you know, people I guess could debate that, but it seems fairly obvious to me when you look at it. So how do we know those things are going on and still call forth some of that happiness so that, as you say, once we do, we then access a power that's important for sustaining us through all this?
Well, I think one of the things is we also have to look at some of the things that are going on in the world that are quite amazing. That a movie like Thrive is out. That is, you know, a documentary like Thrive is out. That I Am is out. There's a fabulous documentary about eating a plant-based diet called Forks Over Knives. There is a lot of information that is available to us. We see what goes on the internet in terms of communities overnight supporting causes that they believe in. So, yes, it's true that you know, the power has been in the hands of very few, that greed is something, you know, that the one who has the biggest house, the most toys at the end, you know, this idea that they're the happiest, which we know isn't true. But, you know, I'm just going to give you an example that I faced today. I was traveling this week. I got home a few hours ago, and there in my mailbox was a letter from my bank that my mortgage payment has been doubled.
Oh.
Out of the blue. Oh. And I think it's because it's something to do with the escrow, and I don't need to go into the details of it. But so I had a choice. I can't go to my bank today. It's Saturday. So I'll go on Monday. So there's a part of me that, yes, I have to deal with this. I'm going to go to the bank. I'm going to talk to somebody there. I'm going to get this straightened out. But there was a time in my life that I would have spent the entire weekend worrying about this and gone into the bank and been annoyed at my local banker about this whole thing and angry, rather than it's a problem. And I said, okay, so what's this going to mean? And I thought, well, this is going to be a problem for me, this double mortgage. And so then I had a little conversation with money. What's my relationship with money? Do I believe that money's on my side? And, you know, this might sound airy-fairy to people, But our relationship with money, like all of our relationships, is this a loving relationship or do I feel victimized by money? So I thought, well, if worse comes to worse, I will be able to pay this double thing for the month of August, for the month of April. I mean, I thought about it in both a rational and logical way, and I also thought about it in a loving way. So I'm sending loving vibes to that banker. I'm sending loving vibes to that bank. I'm seeing myself walking out of the bank on Monday afternoon and saying, oh, I'm really pleased with this outcome. Now, is that going to be, you know, can I guarantee 100% it's going to turn out that way? Who knows how it's going to turn out? But what I can tell you, sitting home for 2 days and worrying about it and being fearful is certainly not going to help it turn out, you know, in terms of what I consider my best interests.
I could see that scenario playing out. You spend 2 days worrying about it, walk in, the banker's in a good mood, and you say, why'd you do this to me, you no good SOB?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, and that's where, when I notice I feel victimized by the circumstance, our general tendency is then to start rearranging the chess pieces outside. And I'm saying, yes, we do have to pay attention. I mean, I need to know where the bank is. I need to know their hours. I need to go there during the time that it's open. You know, there are some practical things about it. And at the same time, it's really important, who am I going as? Who am I being when I show up there?
And these are the kinds of things that you put forward in your book, The Inspired Life?
Absolutely. And one of the first questions that I ask people to explore in terms of their inspired life vision is, if you knew you could not fail, if you weren't afraid, who would you be and what would you be doing? It's not just what would you be doing. It's who would you be? What's the energy that you would be embodying in the life that you want? And then start being that person today.
I like that. And now, this vision, can you help us? How do we create this inspired life vision?
Yeah, that's a hard one. So one is answering that question and allowing yourself to play with it, to really answer it. If you have a vision of being a musician and your very next thought is, well, I don't know if I can support myself being a musician, just thank that thought. Thank you, thought, for popping up, and I'm focusing on my vision. So if I knew I could not fail, if I wasn't afraid, who would I be? What would I be doing? Write your obituary. What do you want said about your life? And then the other thing, sometimes all we know is what we don't want. Taking the leap to what we do want is too difficult for some people, and I acknowledge that. So make a list of what's not working in your life now. What don't you like? And then based on that, well, if this isn't working, if you're not happy with your health and you're always complaining about your health, then part of your vision would be to be healthy, to nourish well-being in your body, mind, and spirit. If you're not feeling satisfied in the work that you are doing, well, what do you love? What are your gifts, talents, skills, and abilities? So it's really crucial to start where you are and then to listen to your language. So do you spend your time complaining all the time about what doesn't work? and hone your skills on becoming a good lemonade maker. What's the sweetness that you could add to the sourness of the circumstance that you're in?
Boy, that's a helpful question to ask.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ways, you know, you introduced me in terms of, you know, my professional work, and one way I often describe myself is I'm a great lemonade maker, and I do wake-up work with people, waking up from the trance of I'm not enough. Or the nightmare of I'm not enough.
And that coaching that you do, because that's really an important key for people that, I guess, we want to figure out if someone did want coaching, how they could do that, and two, if they weren't able to do coaching with you, would like to but couldn't at this time, would getting the inspired life kind of be like getting some coaching from you?
Absolutely, because the inspired life has an explanation of the way we self-sabotage ourselves, whether it's fear, anxiety, worry, expectations, our discomfort with uncertainty. And it also focuses on the components of living an inspired life, the importance of committing first, having a community of support, having a clear North Star, be forgiving, being grateful. And with each one, within each of the chapters, there is an explanation of the concept. There's sometimes a story, whether it's my story, or this book was also written with my self-esteem expert's partner, Joan Briner. Sometimes it's her story, and I also interviewed many wonderful people for this book. So we have their stories, and there are exercises throughout the book. And what I encourage people is to discover which exercises work for you. You know, some people want to meditate by sitting in a chair with their eyes closed, going inside, asking the question, what is my inspired life vision? And being open to what comes up. Somebody else will want to write that. Somebody else will want to make a collage of that. Somebody else will want to do a walking meditation where when you put your right foot forward, you think right. When you put your left foot forward, you think left. So it's really about discovering what works for me and acknowledging how we operate. So people could contact me through SusanReeve.com for coaching. I offer a complimentary 30-minute coaching session to see if we're even a fit.
And if someone wants to participate in that offer, how is it that they would go about scheduling that with you?
They can contact me via my email, which is Susan, S-U-S-Y-N, at SusanReeve.com. Put in the subject, complimentary coaching. I will contact them, and we'll set up an appointment, which we can do over Skype. We can do over the phone, or if somebody lives nearby, we can do it in person.
Okay. Well, that's very helpful. And we've got just a couple minutes left. I want to give you a chance if there's anything that I haven't covered or something special that you wanted to share. Give you a couple minutes to do that.
You ask such great questions, Kenneth. I really appreciate this, and I think what's most important to me is that we live in a dash. We're born, and we're all going to pass through this life, and we don't know exactly when that's going to be. So we each have choices right now in this moment about the life we want to live. We may need help, guides along the way to live into those choices. I have certainly had wonderful guides in the form of therapists and teachers and friends and family, and that this is a journey. It's not a destination. And what's really crucial is that I work with so many people who say, you know, I just want to be happy and be that way all the time. Well, we're ever evolving. So when we bump up against our edges, our learning edges, our growing edges, that is going to feel uncomfortable. It will feel like the old patterns are repeating themselves. But there, those feelings let us know there's a growth opportunity here. And even though some of us would like a few less growth opportunities in our life, enough with the growth opportunities. You know, we're here, we are each mighty expressions of love in the world. And most of us, certainly true for me, need to learn what it means to be loving, to give love, and to receive love. And every day offers us limitless opportunities. So there is enormous amount of resources on my website, on SusanReeve.com. There is, people can sign up through the Self-Esteem Experts link to daily inspiration messages. The Inspired Life is a life map to use. You can get it in your local bookstore. You can get it on Amazon.com. You can order it through my website. But doesn't each one of us deserve to live the best life? For ourselves, for our children's children. And the bottom line is, it just feels better.
Mm-hmm. Well, what a way to summarize all this. This is kind of like the frosting on the cake, Susan. We've blazed through our time together, but I so want to thank you for all that you've done in your life and all that you're doing in support of others. This is just a beautiful thing.
And thank you, Kenneth, for personally for the opportunity that you're giving me to share my work and the work that you're doing to bring this sense of lightness and advanced living to each of us.
Oh,
it's truly a gift.
Well, you're welcome. And so to you, Susan, to my beloved listeners, God bless and goodbye for now.